in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here.
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start up your Monday right here on B&E. The start of the week for all of us, but not the start of the work week for a lot of folks. You're going to enjoy the MLK holiday today for a lot of folks out there. But, excuse me, if you're up with us, we're getting you ready for Cowboys Buccaneers tonight to wrap up Super Wild Card Weekend. Some wild stuff already in the NFL's playoffs. We had a 27-point lead, not enough for the Chargers. Jacksonville roars back. Also, Buffalo roared out to a 17-0 lead on the Dolphins yesterday, only to find themselves in a dogfight by the end of it. And that game yesterday, Buck, the noon game, Buffalo, that was almost 4 hours long.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
a long-ass game.
I mean, the teams that rolled out early, I mean, Cincinnati looked good early. And then all of a sudden, they just kind of faded. They kept trying to get the ball to Chase every time.
Well, and, you know, again, three of the five matchups were division rivals. So it's the third time that the Seahawks have played the 49ers and the Ravens have played the Bengals. And, heck, they just played last week, for crying out loud, to wrap up the regular season, the Dolphins and Bills. There's just so much familiarity. These coaches, I mean, there's really no secrets. And so it becomes a game of execution and, you know, finding ways. And obviously in the Bengals game, one of the more bizarre plays in playoff history flipped the game when it looked like the Ravens were going to take the lead. We'll let you hear that Sam Hubbard return for a touchdown. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. It's the playoffs, and that's what we talk about with Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys. It's every play is magnified, every play is critical.
Every play for the Minnesota Vikings is critical. You got 4th and 12, and you throw it 6 yards. What were your expectations on that? On a 6 yards to the tight end, that he was going to break two tackles and get you another six. I mean, that 4th down play yesterday was like miserable. I'm like, he's not. I mean, you're watching it, and you see the tight end open E at 6, but there's 6 more yards to go. I'm like, he's not going to dump that ball off.
He did.
You've got to take people and throw them past where the first down is, no matter what. I mean,
you can't throw it short.
No, you. I don't care if you throw a pick. Throw a pick if you have to, but don't throw it.
Yeah, because it's the ball game. They're going to take a knee if they
stop. Some of those plays, that play calling was bizarre yesterday.
Well, look, I mean, this is what – I mean, everything will – you know,
yeah, coaching matters now.
Well, I mean, look, Justin Jefferson was a non-factor. This goes to not just Brian Daboll on the offensive side, but, you know, Wink Martindale running the defense for the Giants. I mean, they did not let the Vikings' best players beat them. I mean, it's obviously, yeah, that's your goal, right? These are our best players. We got to weaponize our best players. No one does it better than Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. And he won't let you take his best players away from him.
He doesn't.
He schemes ways to make sure that Deebo Samuel is a huge factor and Christian McCaffrey is going to get his touches and build a comfortable cocoon around Brock Purdy to make plays. I mean, that's good coaching. And so what we saw with the Giants and the Vikings yesterday, Vikings have the home game. That's just, you know, Brian Daboll and his staff outcoached Kevin O'Connell. And, you know, Justin Jefferson had 4 receiving yards in the second half.
No, you can't run him on post and long curl routes. They're going to double him out. They're going to have a guy over the top. They're going to have a guy inside of him. And he's not going to make that. You're not going to be able to give 50-50 balls and just throw it to him.
Yeah. I mean, credit where credit is due. But at the same time, if you're the losing team, you're like, man,
you're right.
How do we let them take our best player away? That can't happen. You know, of course, if you tell the Giants, we're going to put this game in Kirk Cousins' hands, we're going to take Justin Jefferson out of it, and they're not going to run the ball? I mean, how do you get to the end of a ball game with Dalvin Cook? And I think Alexander Mattison's one of the best backup running backs in the NFL.
Sure.
You end up with 45 rushing yards in a playoff game at home? Come on, you got to be better than that.
Is that an O-line issue?
I think it's a play-calling issue. I think it's a mindset issue.
Yeah, it was more mindset. It was all about Jefferson.
If you watch the Vikings this year, they've gotten – I mean, obviously, you got rid of Mike Zimmer for a reason. But, you know, you still have to have that mindset you're going to run the football. And they don't. And I think it hurt the Vikings.
And they can't stop anybody. They just,
and their defense
their
was
defense,
bad.
Yeah.
Really, their secondary. And that's, again, this is what now the Vikings – excuse me, this is what Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys have to deal with. I think Brian Daboll – he showed you again yesterday. This guy's the real deal. This guy can really coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he put together a tremendous coaching staff, too, when he got to the Giants. So now if you're in that division, all of a sudden you're going to deal with him every year. You got to deal with Nick Sirianni and the Eagles moving forward. You got to find a way to win this game tonight because you have the better players. You've got the better team.
You do.
I mean, that's on you, Big Mac, to go get a win tonight to make sure Kellen Moore and his game plan
10
are
10 points on. Tonight, Ty. 10-point. 10-point win is good.
It's on deck.
They're obviously trying to find they're trying to find.
Plus, you're going to find out if that defensive guys are rested and ready to go. Because if you let Tom Brady.
Well, they didn't really get rested last week, did they?
Oh, no.
This is where you give Brian Daboll credit. He rested his top 8 or 9 players last week.
That's right.
The Chargers were missing Mike Williams at the end of that game, too.
Yes, they were. That hit. Yeah, how about that?
That hurts. Yeah. Well, that might get Brandon Staley fired. See ya.
I mean, that's all they talked about all weekend. Why was he playing that wide receiver in that game? The guy's been hurt. I mean, he's hurt a lot.
You could see the look on Staley's face at the end of that game.
Oh, he looked like I'm about to be fired.
Well, think about it. I mean, I heard a lot of people talk about the media talking about the Mike Williams injury. You know who was talking about the Mike Williams injury? The players. The players in the locker room.
Yeah,
know
no
good
kidding.
And well.
It was coming from, a lot like, of stuff what, was coming through the
right.
through the media about
well,
the players
coach,
saying,
what the hell is he doing out here? We're playing a
and
meaningless
Boza,
game.
They were doing the same thing about Boza. Like, what is this guy doing here? What are we trying to win this game for?
Well, that's the most
for?
Important part. I mean, you got to keep your player. Players are smart. Players know. Why are we getting our best player hurt in a game that doesn't mean anything?
We're in the playoffs.
Hey, coach, your job is to protect us. Your job is to put us in the best possible position come playoff time. Why are you not doing that? I mean, so when the players start questioning the coach, that's when you really lose it. I mean, that's when you have really no chance at that point. And, you know, I don't think that's happened for Mike McCarthy yet. I still think Mike McCarthy has that locker room. But at the same time, you got to go exercise some demons tonight. I mean, you haven't won in Tampa in a long time, in a decade. You haven't beaten Tom Brady ever. You haven't won a road playoff game in 30 years as a franchise. I mean, you've got a lot to exercise. But, again, you've got the better team in this game tonight. And you should be the fresher team, but your coach didn't rest any players last week. You went out and everybody played, and they played their worst game of the year. That's discouraging, but let's hope the Cowboys can flip that tonight at 7:15.
And the other one is Josh Allen's got to get rid of that interception stuff that he's doing.
Two of them. Yeah, but that game was – well, let's get to the headlines, then we'll talk more about them. Let's get you caught up on the scoreboard. If you missed some games or were busy this weekend, let's get you caught up there and on the Longhorn Hoops side of things. UBO Business Services. Yeah, NFL, 5 games down, 1 to go tonight on Super Wild Card Weekend. On Saturday, if you missed it, the 49ers outscored the Seahawks 25-6 in the second half. They turned to a 1-point halftime deficit, down 17-16 into a 41-23 beatdown. It's their 11th straight win as they roll. Brock Purdy still undefeated as a starter in San Francisco. Wild one Saturday night in the AFC. How about Jacksonville? They fell behind the LA Chargers 27-0. Seemed like that's a pretty good lead, not enough. They rallied to come back and pull off the third largest playoff comeback ever. And they win that game 31-30 on Riley Patterson's 36-yard field goal on the game's final play. Jags quarterback Trevor Lawrence threw 4 early interceptions in that game, but recovered to throw 4 touchdown passes to lead them to that victory. 1 point, they will now go to Kansas City to face the Chiefs in the divisional round. Also yesterday, 3 games, Buffalo raced out to a 17-0 lead, but then had to hold on for a 34-31 win. A couple of Josh Allen interceptions, also a strip sack fumble, kept the Dolphins in that game. They dang near won it. In the end, though, the Bills advanced. They're going to host the Cincinnati Bengals coming up in the divisional round. That's because last night on Sunday Night Football, Cincinnati held on for a 24-17 win over Baltimore. That game turned in the middle of the fourth quarter with the Ravens threatening to take a 7-point lead on the goal line. Here's how it turned from touchdown Ravens to touchdown Bengals.
Third and goal coming up. Right around Hundley. He reaches. Oh, that ball's out. That's live. Back the other way. Sam Hubbard. The Cincinnati kid. Hubbard's got a convoy. Chased by Andrews. At the 30. The 20. He will score.
Yeah, touchdown. 7 points off the board for Baltimore. Goes the other way. They win it by 7. And we'll go play Buffalo now. Tonight, of course, it's the Cowboys and the Buccaneers. It's Monday Night Football. You'll hear it right here on the Horn. Big weekend for Texas basketball as well at Moody Center. Texas women win yesterday. They pull away late, outscore Iowa State in the fourth quarter 16-6 and earn a 68-53 win. They're 4-1 now in Big 12 play. Longhorn men are also 4-1. They rallied again. They were down 10 points to Texas Tech in the second half and rallied to win it 72-70. Just like earlier in the week when their comeback win over TCU, once the Horns grabbed the lead, Sir Jabari Rice was key, stealing it from the foul line. The senior calmly drained five big free throws. Texas made 9 of 11 free shots in the game's final 137 to improve to 15-2 and 4-1 in Big 12 play for head coach Rodney Terry.
I give our guys a lot of credit. They stayed together, and you know, again, we didn't get off to the kind of start we wanted to. And the thing we keep talking to about and learning through this a little bit is, you know, we've got to get lost playing really hard on defense and put some stops together early in the game. We don't know how well we're going to shoot the ball, but we've got to be able to take care of the basketball, get shots on our terms, and then just get lost playing really, really hard on the end of the floor.
Great week for Texas football. Great news for Texas football over the weekend as well. Official word through his social media account that linebacker Jalen Ford plans to be back at Texas for his senior season, anchor that Longhorn defense as a junior. Ford led the Longhorn defense with 119 tackles. He also had produced two sacks, forced three fumbles, recovered a couple of fumbles, and had four interceptions. On his way to first-team All-Big 12 honors, he will be back for the Longhorns in 2023.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
How about that Alabama basketball program? Wow.
Yeah, Nate Oates is one of the top coaches. Yeah, Darius Miles. That story and the story from Athens, Georgia, just tragic. Yeah, Alabama basketball player Darius Miles arrested and charged with capital murder yesterday. He's been injured. So he's not really on the team right now. But yes, I mean, looks like just an altercation that ended up in
a shooting in the car. Wow.
At this time, according to the authorities there in Tuscaloosa, appears to be the only motive was a minor altercation that these individuals had with the victim as they were out on the strip in Tuscaloosa. It happened just near the football stadium, Bryant Denny Stadium there. Just senseless.
A 23-year-old young girl.
Yeah, and her life is over, and you know he's headed to jail, and obviously
his life is just about over if that's the case.
Also, Georgia, of course, won the national championship, but just outside of Athens, I guess after a celebration of the national championship, Georgia offensive lineman Devin Willock and recruiting staffer Chandler LaCroix were died in a car crash. Two other players or people were in that car.
They were injured also, weren't they?
Yeah. The female, Chandler LaCroix, was driving the vehicle early Sunday morning. The passengers in the back of the car were okay, but both in the front, Devin Willock and her, lost their lives in that single car accident. Just terrible news, without a doubt. So a couple of tragedies for sure to start your Monday. Plenty of football news, plenty of basketball. With that in mind, just at 7:15 on this MLK Day, let's dive into our Coach's Corner, brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations. We'll play our sounder here coming up, but there you go. Yeah, I mean, this says, Buck, how about the Dolphins not having a quick 4th-and-1 play ready to go?
Oh, my goodness.
Terrible,
they got,
Coach.
Oh, they got it. Well, they were struggling all day with their young quarterback. They were screwing up on plays
play
that came in. The
mess.
Play clock was a mess. You knew that was going to happen a little bit, but it happened in every quarter. And it happened at the worst times,
Yeah.
When they got it. They were running to the line of scrimmage. They weren't quite sure. They had a lot of illegal procedures.
I mean, if you're a Dolphins fan, you were just throwing things at the
television.
Because, yeah, it was 34-31. You've got the ball. You're approaching midfield. It's 4th-and-1. And you can't get a play in. You can't get a play off. And they end up having to take a delay of game. So instead of in the game's critical play, it's 4th-and-6 instead of 4th-and-1. You throw an incompletion
right to
Gesicki. But, you know, again, it's an excuse.
Yeah.
But you're down to your third quarterback. Skylar Thompson struggled yesterday. But, yeah, Mike McDaniel and his staff.
He threw the ball okay, though. Man, he's got a nice arm.
Well, I don't know. I disagree. He was 18 of 45, and he threw some balls to open receivers that just hit the dirt. Now, he did have some drops.
Yeah, I mean, guys got to catch the ball.
Guys got to catch.
I mean, he's the third-string quarterback. If you throw it to you guys got to catch it for him. That helps him out an awful lot. One thing over the weekend that I did like about the NFL was when they would have those call downs on plays, when they said, let's get this done real quick. No, that's an incompleted ball. You guys don't need to go under the covers. We got it here. Incompletion. Let's move on. Let's not have you go and spend 4 minutes underneath the covers, and we have 18,000 commercials. It's an incomplete. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I like that for the NFL football. I like the way they did that.
Well, it's rare to see an NFL game go as long as that game did. I mean, the NFL's got it down as far as 3-hour games, right? They rarely go over 3:15, even overtime games. This game was almost 4 hours long. The first half, the weird part of the Buffalo, well, there were several weird parts of the Buffalo-Miami game, but right before the half, Josh Allen threw another deep ball on a third down, and they hit the kid, who was it, McKenzie? Hits him in the hands. It's going to be, oh, there's Shakur. It was Shakur, and he's going to, you know, be at the 10-yard line, and it looks like another 50-yard chunk play. He drops the ball, and that became critical because it would look like they were going to set them up to go in, maybe score again before the half to be up 24-0.
Right.
Ball hits the ground. They overrule that. It's a drop. And so Buffalo punts, and that's when the former Cowboy Cedric Wilson returns the punt all the way back, and they end up kicking a field goal. Then they got the interception, and they go into the half tied at 17.
The interception was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, if Shakur catches that ball cleanly, they go in, and they're probably up like 24-6 at the half. Instead, it's 17-all. Because the Dolphins score two quick points. I mean, a field goal and a touchdown, and then go for two and get it. So they score 11 quick points, and then all of a sudden it's tied at the half. And then when they come out in the – well, actually, Buffalo then did get a field goal right before the half, which extended it. I mean, the first half took almost 2 hours, which normally it's an hour and a half for a half. Well, then to come out of the second half, Buck, that's when Josh Allen got strip-sacked, and the guy scores from
right
5 yards
out. Yep.
Now it's 24-20. Dolphins are leading this game when it would look like they're about to get blown out of the building. That was the crazy part. And you're right. I mean, the clock management for the Dolphins was poor. Mike McDaniel, a first-year head coach with his third-string quarterback, just...
And that's exactly what it looked like, too. First-year head coach and a third-string quarterback.
And that's, I mean, as you compare teams and their coaching staffs, and I mean, the 49ers were the most impressive team of the weekend, with their adjustments and the way they can just explode on people like they did to the Seahawks. That game was close, and all of a sudden you look up and it's a blowout. They've got that explosive nature to them. But then the Giants. I mean, just the Giants going on the road in a really loud environment, just looking completely unfazed, completely locked in with a first-year head coach and Daniel Jones. I mean, they were clean as they could be. And in the end, it was, as you said, the Vikings on a 4th-and-8, you know, throwing a 2-yard pass and getting tackled before the sticks, and that's how their season ends. That's disappointing. I mean, I thought those were the two most impressive teams of the weekend. And if you're a Cowboys fan, what you want is to look clean and impressive tonight, right? I mean, in that, can you find that early season form where you were one of the, you know, the best looking teams in the league? You know,
we don't have to score so many points against Tampa. That's the thing. You don't have to put yourself in. I mean, if you score 30, you should win this game.
I think if you score 28, you could win this game. I mean, that's well, and this is the thing with the Cowboys. We know week one they looked like a mess, right? They came into the season and they played Tampa and they lost 19-3. It was a colossal failure and they were not ready to play that game, it didn't feel like. Also, you lost Dak Prescott. Dak gets hurt in the game. Well, so now you're thinking, man, this season could spiral out of control pretty quickly. And next thing you know, this is where you give Mike McCarthy and his staff a lot of credit. They rallied around Cooper Rush. He played 5 games. They won 4 of them. And then when Dak came back, it felt like once you got the offense going that you had the best combination of offense and defense maybe in the whole league, you know, except for maybe the 49ers, that you're like, okay, no one can score and stop. And, you know, the Cowboys are allowing, you know, 13 points a game. They're scoring in the 20s. And, well, now this month of December has been discouraging because now you're allowing 24, 26 points a game. You're not scoring like you were, and your quarterback is turning the football over. I mean, that's going to be the question everybody wants to see tonight is which version of the Cowboys shows up. I think we know which Buccaneers team we're getting, right?
Yeah, they can play hard, but they shouldn't be good enough.
I think we've seen the same version of the Buccaneers all season long.
I've seen it for 2 years look the same way.
They've got to play a lower scoring game.
You're right.
Limit possessions, and then they got to try to let Tom Brady win it in the end. It's really kind of how they have to win.
In order for them to really get going, their run game has to get going to keep Brady from having to pass every down. Now, he wants to pass every down, but they need play action pass. They need to be successful running the ball. Cowboys can't let them run.
So if you get that, you're going to get that version of the Bucs tonight. They get the home crowd, but this is where I'm saying compared to the Giants, you just want the Cowboys to walk in there unfazed by the whole Tom Brady thing.
They have the better players right now.
Just be the better team.
Yes.
Just be the more prepared team. Just be buttoned up. We know last year at home against the 49ers, remember they had 13 penalties. They were getting pushed around. They just looked awful. And then it ended with the weird, clock situation with Dak. And,
yep.
And Jerry was furious. And Jerry was furious because they just looked unprepared. They just looked like a poorly coached football team. That can't happen tonight. I mean,
I don't think it will. I think Dak's going to do what he does. Once again, I think he'll throw a pick, but I think that team defensively will stifle Tampa Bay.
Yeah, feels like it. And I mean,
and be in control in the fourth quarter where there are no comebacks, no 3-minute. Tom Brady comes down the field and scores.
Yeah.
And beats you.
I mean, obviously the Dak interceptions have been talked about ad nauseum, but it has to be a moment. He's thrown pick sixes in 3 of the last 4 games, almost 4 of the last 5. I mean, these are picks for touchdowns. These are points throws that you're killing your team with. He's had a turnover, an interception in 7 straight games. This is something you have to reverse. You have to reverse course.
Yeah, and
on
the
that.
Use of Tony Pollard, if he's healthy, you have to really use him tonight. He's got to come out of your backfield down the sideline. Yep. Got to make throws to him where he just kills the defense because they have nobody to cover him. He has to be used.
And that's much like you saw Brian Daboll weaponize his quarterback, weaponize Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
You know, I mean, obviously Kyle Shanahan does it as good as anybody with his weapons. Yes, I mean, impose Tony Pollard on that team. Make him the factor in the game. Who are your best players? Tony Pollard and CeeDee Lamb.
Right.
Well, they have to be big tonight. They you cannot let Todd Bowles and Tampa Bay take them out of the game. That cannot happen. And that's coaching, that's
see,
scheming, that's game plan.
I don't think Lamb has been taken away by anybody all year, so that can't happen all of a sudden tonight.
Washington. Did he play against Washington? I think he did. He didn't do anything. Well, Cowboys scored 6 points the whole game.
Yeah, he ended up with 4 catches, I believe.
Well,
I mean, that won't do it. That's not enough.
I mean, you go back to that 49ers game, every time they needed a big play and Brock Purdy as a rookie needed something, who was it to? It was the 19. I mean, over and over and over, Deebo Samuel with just big play and just the run after catch. I mean, this is all stuff CeeDee Lamb can do. And you know, maybe I'm overstating it that Tony Pollard could fill a Christian McCaffrey role. I think he could. I think you can impose Tony Pollard on teams like they do with Christian McCaffrey.
You're supposed to have this boy genius as your play caller. He needs to get that done tonight.
Yeah, and you still have Zeke Elliott to hand the ball to and wear down a defense. And that's what you love about the Cowboys. There's a lot to like about their personnel, about how you can use their personnel and on both sides of the ball. But I think most Cowboy fans, when you talk to them, have more confidence in Dan Quinn scheming up to deal with Tom Brady than they do with Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy, you know, going after Todd Bowles and the Bucs defense. If both come together, should be an easy win tonight. Should be kind of like the 49ers.
And after
game.
What I saw last night with the Ravens guys, I think they're going to, Lamar Jackson, I think that deal's going to get done this before all these playoffs are over with. They're going to say, hey, listen, we can't go anywhere. You know, we can barely go somewhere with you, but we definitely can't go anywhere without you.
Think they signed Lamar Jackson?
I think they will this week.
At least come to an agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah, Buck, that game
they're going to franchise him. They're not letting him get away, E. They're not letting him walk down the road.
Well, no, but they may franchise him with the intention of letting him be traded.
Seeing what they can get, yeah.
And because, again, if you put the transition tag on Lamar Jackson, he can then negotiate with other teams, and if he finds a suitor, then that team has to give up 2 first-round draft picks, or you have to work out a trade at that point. That could be a recipe. Or, as you say, Lamar Jackson just re-signs and he's back to play quarterback for them. All right, we'll come back when we do your thoughts on these wild card games. 5 of them are done. Cowboys tonight. Also on this Longhorn basketball team, finding ways to win games. Got to stop falling behind as they go on the road for 4 of their next 6. We'll talk some Longhorn hoops. And we'll get into the Jalen Ford decision. That was not unexpected, but certainly was good news for the Texas defense. We'll talk about what that defense can look like next year and moving forward.
And were you right about the tight end that the Lions gave to the Minnesota Vikings? Wow, they gave that dude up?
Well, Hockenson?
Whoa.
Great player. We'll be back. We're talking football. It's a Monday. It's MLK Day here on B&E.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
Yeah, good, bad, and ugly from the wild card weekend so far. Daniel Jones, certainly really good. 3rd quarterback in postseason history with 300 passing yards, 75 rushing yards in a game. He joins Lamar Jackson and Steve Young in that category. But he's the first NFL quarterback to get a win when throwing for 300 and rushing for over 75. Lamar Jackson and Steve Young had lost their game in the playoffs when that happened. Not the case with Daniel Jones and company. They get the win 31-24. Also, 98 yards, the longest touchdown return in Bengals postseason history and one of the longest in postseason history, period, from Sam Hubbard last night. That swung the Ravens-Bengals game into the Bengals' favor instead of a touchdown deficit for Joe Burrow and the Bengals. They were up a touchdown, a 14-point swing at a critical moment in that ball game.
Is that a push in the back in the end?
I don't think so.
You just let that play out?
I think you let that play out. Dude, well, no one's going to catch it. Sam Hubbard on that play. I mean, he broke clear, and there was no one within 20 yards of him when he broke the 20-yard line. And see you later, touchdown. And that was obviously a big moment. And, you know, it's interesting, after games, I mean, the running back for the Baltimore Ravens from LaGrange, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Our man, what the guy, why can't I think of his name?
Went to Ohio State.
Golly. What is my problem this morning on a Monday? J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins. Not happy. He's criticizing the play calling, thinks that he should have gotten more carries. Obviously, you know, at the goal line, said I would have got whatever. He's sour grapes, and that's what happens in these playoff games. You know, you let one get away, a game that's right there for you, and you need to handle it like a pro. And I don't think that's shines very good on J.K. Dobbins. Also, Buck, not handling it like a pro. How about, you know, we talk about the L.A. Chargers. You know, you would think 27-0, you can find a way to win that football game. They could not. Jaguars now have to feel like they're playing with house money. They get down 27-0 and come all the way back and win that game. But Joey Bosa losing his cool in that game, slamming his helmet, his unsportsmanlike conduct call.
Oh, yeah.
Allowed Trevor Lawrence and the Jags to go for two from the inch line instead of from the two. And they get the point that ended up being the game winner in a 31-30 game. Joey Bosa not taking accountability for it and saying, it's, you know, I'm getting held. The officials need to make the right calls and things of that nature. Look, this is a bad look for the Chargers, because here's the issue with the Chargers. They may have to fire their coach now. And remember, this offseason, they went all in here, right? They traded for Khalil Mack. They signed J.C. Jackson in free agency at corner. I mean, they really loaded up knowing that they still had Justin Herbert, their young quarterback, on a rookie deal. And they built a 27-0 lead, and it all fell apart. Now they're out. And now they've got big decisions to make as an organization, right? Are you gonna fire the coach?
Yes. Yes, I am.
But you're also, because you probably this offseason as an organization have to re-sign your quarterback.
Yes, I will.
Once you do that, now you're going to have to start cutting key guys because you can't afford them. And this was a year to go all in for the Chargers, where we hadn't signed that big deal to Herbert yet, so we can absorb a Khalil Mack contract, and we can, you know, do some things in free agency to try to...
Well, I got those two wide receivers signed if they ever play together. If one's not hurt.
Yeah, well, and that goes back to the coach. Why was Mike Williams playing in the Denver game at the end of the year to get hurt, to not be available for you in this game? These are all questions, but it's a bad look for the Chargers, and it doesn't feel like they're in a good spot now because they do have to re-sign Justin Herbert. Once they do that, though, all that cap cushion, all that cap space is gone, and they're going to have to start cutting key players off that team. And
by the way, you put the whammy on me Friday with my Mega Millions.
I did?
Yeah, because you know the number that you gave us that's most frequently as the Mega Player, that
14.
Number 14 was, I think, was the magic number there at the
Mega
end.
Mega Ball was 14.
Yes.
Yes.
You gave it to us. Ty, we didn't go play it. He gave it to us on Friday. 14, 14, 14. That kept coming up in my head, and I'm like, I'm not going to put 14 down there. He's not going to be right on that. And there it was, 14 was the number. Damn 14, E. Come on now.
Friday night's
winning
somebody numbers.
Somebody in Maine. Black Bear won.
Won $1.35 billion.
Billion?
Billion. One person. Yeah, and the numbers were 30, 43, 45, 46, and 61 with a mega ball of 14.
14. There's old 14 coming up.
14.
14 will be in my play from this point on now.
Well,
yes.
Kind of have to, I think, because
it's a numbers game, and you had the numbers, and you gave us that one number. That was that's a big number. That's the mega plier,
ooh.
Right? That's the one.
If you say so, the numbers we gave you, that was just basic number analytics, right? I mean,
yes.
That number in the last 5 years has come up like almost 10% of the time on these mega, for whatever reason. I mean, it could be.
No, you called it in.
Tried to tell you.
Tried to tell you.
Yeah, but those are your numbers. Congratulations to whoever won that. And we'll probably never find out, right? Or will we? Will we find out who this person is?
Oh, up in Maine, they already know by now.
But the person, if they're smart, just hires a lawyer and says, look, you handle this. I want to be anonymous. I don't need to be known. You'll get your cut, Mr. Lawyer. Leave me out of this. Right? You don't want anybody to know you want it.
Meth business is good in Maine.
But someone had told me, Maine is one of the few states that I've never been to.
It's beautiful.
Because you got to work to get there. It's all the way at
the
top.
Yeah, you do. New Hampshire, Maine is up there.
It's, you know, you can go to a lot of places on your way to somewhere else.
That's the one. That's the last stop on the bus stop.
You don't ever get to Maine. You got to get to Maine, right? You got to keep on going. I've not been to Maine. One of these days I'll have to get there. But you say there's a meth is good?
Meth is good in Maine.
Is it legal to – because I've had people argue with me on this, that if you win the lottery, you cannot stay anonymous. Like, I don't know, they want the name, or are you allowed to? Or is it changed in different states? I don't know. Because that's what I would do. I mean, if I somehow won the lottery, it would be –
Would the number 14 be in your lottery?
Yes.
Yes, yes, it would.
But I would want to remain unknown. I don't need people calling me. Hey, buddy.
Oh, they won't be on the line very long if they called you.
Yeah, but
click. Yeah, bye.
Yeah, but if they don't know I won the lottery, then I can just lay low. Lay low.
You'll do a lot of things with $1 billion in Maine. Like get out of Maine. That's what you could do.
Well, you can get out of Maine in the wintertime, which is when you probably want to get out of Maine.
And that's what somebody's probably going to do.
But I would like to be in Maine in the summertime.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, instead of down here. But yeah,
monster mosquitoes, though. Sorry. They pick you up and carry you away.
Big mosquitoes in Maine?
Maine and New Hampshire, Vermont. Huh. Once the sun goes down, they come out. They come out to play.
Well, it sounds like you were there in the summertime.
Yes.
All right. Okay, so we're taking your good, your bad, and your ugly from the playoff weekend, the wild card weekend for sure. And yeah, here's the issue for the Chargers, Buck. Biggest cap hits, Joey Bosa. $31 million. Khalil Mack, $27.5 million. Keenan Allen is a almost $22 million cap hit for them if they have to move on. And this is going to be a challenge. That was a crushing loss for that organization, because since they moved to LA, they're trying to build a fan base, which is not easy to do. You've alienated the San Diego fans, so you're trying to build this star-studded team that can make a run. And there you are, up 27-0. And it all comes crashing down, and you end up losing the ball game. Joey Bosa throwing helmets and losing
his Chargers, mind. So Chargers fans from San Diego just said no once they went to L.A. Were they done with them?
Well, I don't know for all of them, but I think about a large majority said screw you. You know what I mean? It's like when the Oilers left Houston. I mean, you had to choose, but San Diego hadn't gotten a team back yet. So are they going to stick with the Chargers? You know, me as an Oilers fan, when the Oilers left – to go to Tennessee. I still rooted for the Tennessee Titans or whatever they were. And big part of it was that I liked the players, right? They had Steve McNair and they had Eddie George. And you know, those players were drafted when they were in Houston, and you kind of liked the trajectory of the team. And obviously ended up going to a Super Bowl with Steve McNair and coming up a yard short with Kevin Dyson. But you had to choose whether you wanted to root for them. And then when the Texans came online 20 years ago, then you really had to make a decision as a Houston fan. Are you going to root for the Texans? Are you going to root for the Titans? For San Diego fans, I mean, I got to think you can't root for the Chargers once they leave to go to L.A. And, I mean, it was the owner decision. That was a pretty rabid fan base.
I can't believe I'm a Minnesota fan. Bud Grant was even up there in the suite.
Yeah, well,
I mean, really?
Well, but
trying to bring them the Jews, it just wouldn't happen.
Yeah, for the Chargers, though, you're thinking, man, they you could see what they're doing. They were trying to go. They hit on their quarterback. He's a good player. He's going to be a real good quarterback. So let's go all in while he's still on this rookie deal and see if we can't.
So let's get a
capture
coach.
Capture some fans. Yeah, and they leave it to this young coach who mistake, right? In a coach quarterback league, you got to have the coach and the quarterback. If you have both. I mean, you're probably going to be really good for a long time. If you have Belichick and Brady, you have a chance to win every year. If you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, you have a chance to win every year. I think, Buck, if you have Sean McDermott and Josh Allen, you have a chance. Are we questioning that, or we feel good about that? Coach and quarterback combo.
I think so.
I don't know yet in Cincinnati. I like Joe Burrow. What do we think of the coach? You know, we're still you're feeling good because they went to a Super Bowl a year ago.
Absolutely.
But okay. I still think there's some proving to do. You know, that's over in the NFC. You're thinking, I think if you're over in the NFC, you're thinking, okay, well, Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, if these guys continue on this trajectory, watch out.
Yeah, what's going to happen with Daniel Jones and his head coach?
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco has just been looking for his quarterback. Did he find him? In this Brock Purdy guy. It wasn't Garoppolo. Maybe it was going to be Trey Lance. Well, now all of a sudden, based on circumstance, he may have stumbled into Brock Purdy, excuse me, as he continues to win. And then you look at, and this brings you back to the Cowboys. You feel good about Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott. This is your coach and quarterback.
That's almost the biggest laugh of all of them. All these names you're throwing out there, it's almost, really?
And this is your coach and quarterback. This is what this league has become and is built on now. That's why Charger fans are like, okay, we're going to have some cap casualties, but then are there any Charger fan begs that question? Well, now we're going to get Sean Payton. We're going to bring in Sean Payton to be our coach with our quarterback, and now we're going to have a chance to compete with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
Sean Payton's
in our own
now
division.
Talking with Carolina.
But there's no quarterback there.
That's right.
See? That's why I was arguing for Sean Payton to Houston, because if you're in Houston, you can draft your quarterback. But by the way, it is now Monday, the 16th of January. Today is the deadline to declare your intentions to be a part of the NFL draft in April. To this moment, Ohio State quarterback C.J. Stroud still has not declared his intention to join the draft.
He may come back for another year.
And there's a lot of grumbling in Columbus over the weekend that maybe there's enough NIL interest and money to keep C.J. Stroud in Columbus for another year, which will double back on all the Houston Texans conversations we had when I said you cannot lose the first pick.
He has not. He has not. Won a Big Ten championship since he's been there, right?
Well, again, I was reading, because when we came in here on Monday and I was furious at the Texans for giving up the rights to the number one pick, this is everybody, oh, come on, they can still get number two, they'll still get Stroud. Well, maybe Stroud's not in the draft now. And maybe now Bryce Anderson goes to wherever the Bears trade that pick to, and now all of a sudden you don't get your quarterback because you decided you had to beat the Colts in Week 18 for no reason. That's organizational failure. But, you know, C.J. Stroud could still declare today. We'll see. But there's a lot of conversation that, as you said, he hasn't beaten Michigan in 2 years.
He'd like to do that.
He'd like to win the Big Ten. He knows they were this close to beating Georgia.
And they've got a lot, and just about everybody coming back.
He likes being in college. He likes playing for the Buckeyes. And there's
they
NIL
got money.
Money.
And there's some money there.
And I don't have to play for the Texans. You know what I'm saying? I think that's he's weighing all of these things. He's like, ee. So keep an eye on that today on this MLK Day. C.J. Stroud has still the, I don't know what the actual clock time limit is, but today's the deadline, the 16th of January, to declare that if you're coming back or going to the NFL. To this moment, 7:45 on a Monday morning, C.J. Stroud has, to my knowledge, not declared.
Wow.
So Houston Texans fans are like, oh, Bryce Young will be gone. Bears will trade him to the Bears will trade that first pick to the Colts or to the Panthers or to somebody. They'll gobble him up, or we're gonna have to trade for it to go get Bryce Young because we couldn't handle our business and lose a game in Week 18 that we should have lost.
You'll get a dude from Kentucky.
Oh, Will Levis, great.
That doesn't feel like that's taking you anywhere.
Cannot give up that pick. You had control of the pick. You got to keep the pick.
Come on, Lovey.
Take a knee. Take your penalty. What are they gonna do to you? NFL will be mad at you or whatever. Take your knee. 31-30 loss.
What's Lovey doing? He got paid. He's baking cookies
again. He got fired.
I know. He's back to baking cookies.
We'll be back. When we do, it's some hot or not topics. T.Y., who's on pins and needles in there, is a big Cowboys fan. He's eager for this game tonight. We'll get a prediction from him. Also, some other topics we've missed halfway through a Monday edition here on B&E.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Appreciate all the texts on the Specs text line. It is the show of the people, after all. Your thoughts, ours as well. This is Lotto winners remaining anonymous. Varies by state. Texas, you can remain anonymous if you win the lottery here. Okay, you can remain in the shadows. Also, it says top four picks in the NFL draft make $36.7 million, worth $24 million in a signing bonus. No NIL deal can touch that. Go to the draft, young fella. That's the advice to C.J. Stroud. But in the idea of having NIL, it's not going to equal what you make as the top pick in the draft, but it's a pretty good money while you continue to play college football and maybe win a Heisman. Win
yeah,
a Big
once
Ten.
Again, there are you know, people have different versions of what they want to do. He is an Ohio State Buckeye that doesn't want to leave without beating Michigan.
Yeah. I think
that's part of why he's even has a thought about it.
And not only is he not beating Michigan, they've smashed him twice in a row.
You're right.
And so he hasn't won the Big Ten. He didn't win a Heisman. He didn't beat Georgia. So there is some thought that C.J. Stroud has those boxes he'd like to come back and try to check at Ohio State and then go to the draft. Obviously, that impacts the draft pretty immensely. And as I said, the Texans screwed it up when they didn't.
Or it's a girl.
What do you mean? Oh, a girl. Yeah.
Well, on campus.
Well, you can bring the girl with you to the NFL. But that's always the thing, right? I mean, we always have these debates. I never criticize a young person for making either decision.
That's right.
If they want to go back to college, that's great. The NFL is always going to be there. There's always going to be the opportunity. And yeah, you could suffer an injury and whatever, but same time, likelihood is you'll have a chance to go play in the NFL when you're ready. If you want to go to the NFL, college will always be there. I can always
go back to college.
Always
right.
Back and finish school. I mean, that's fine. I can get that done.
I keep getting older, anywhere. And they just keep getting younger.
I can get back there. I saw who did I see is going back and finishing his degree. Announced that over the weekend, which I thought was pretty cool. I'll find that story. But here it is, though, because the Texans gave up the number one pick by beating the Colts. Now here's a story from Chicago already that the Chicago Bears may not have to wait too long before receiving their first trade offer for that number one pick. Report out of Indianapolis that the Colts are ready to go big because the Houston decided they had to beat the Colts to lose control of that number one pick. The Colts are drafting fourth. And here it is from David Kaplan. The Colts are ready to put a deal together for Chicago's top pick that would include wide receiver Michael Pittman Jr., multiple future picks, and potentially another player. So here come the Colts, which we knew they would do, saying, because you've got an owner in Jim Irsay who's desperate, they want to secure that opportunity to draft Bryce Young to be their starting quarterback. And if, obviously, both of those things were to happen, the Colts acquire the number one pick, C.J. Stroud stays in college. Houston doesn't have a guaranteed number pick, two pick at quarterback, which you cost yourself.
Just give me Pittman and give me that running back with the bad ankles.
Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah.
Oh, man, the Bears, what a trade that would be to still get the fourth pick. And Michael Pittman, and no, they're not giving up Jonathan Taylor. That won't happen. They would like to pair Jonathan Taylor with Bryce Young.
That's what they want. They want to pair the running game.
And start the rebuild in Indianapolis. But Houston would be, that would be such a Houston way to go. That would be very Texans-like if that's how that falls. Stroud goes back to Ohio State. The Bears trade the pick to their division rival Colts. So now all of a sudden the Texans, because they decided they had to beat the Colts in Week 18, will have to see Bryce Young twice a year, who they possibly could have drafted. That is very Houston-like, very Houston-like. T.Y., what do you have for us in Hot or Not, my friend?
Draymond Green, he did an interview with Bleacher Report's Taylor Rooks over the weekend, and one of the topics was his relationship with Jordan Poole. They had the video come out of them fighting, or really it was just Draymond kind of cold-clocking Jordan Poole at practice.
He shut him down.
And he said they still have lockers right next to each other, but their relationship is a work in progress. So I had to ask y'all, if you ever had a teammate cold clock you and you had to play with him and sit next to him every day, would you be able to still play with him and work with him and, be a teammate, a good teammate?
Yeah, I was a senior. I was a freshman, and I got the hazing in the shower. Well, dropping the soap, somebody took one of that icy bomb and gave it to me in the, you know what I mean?
Well, that's a little different.
Why? Oh, yeah. No. It's not a little different. Where I got that, that was not. It didn't just go away that day.
Did you throw some hands after that?
Oh no, I was ready to throw down on the senior running back. Yeah.
Well, what if you got sucker punched at practice?
Dude, that was worse than a sucker punch. I'd rather got hit anywhere else.
And you don't expect your own teammate to clock you. I mean, because he was looking right at him, so some will say it wasn't a sucker punch. But in a professional environment like that, you don't expect to get knocked out. I mean, you're not on Sixth Street or something. You're in practice.
I mean, we've heard the Michael Jordan stories about their practices and the beefs there. But
I mean, yes, adults can get over things like that. We probably need to talk about it and work it out. Same time, it wouldn't be easy if a guy just completely clocked you. Would you ever trust him again?
A sucker punch? No.
And they got lockers right next to each other.
Maybe they put by. I mean, my brother socked me a few times before. I didn't get to stop being his brother.
Had to live in the same room with him.
Draymond did admit he was in the wrong, though.
That's right. He owned it. Sauce Gardner, several people have mentioned. Yeah, Sauce Gardner, the great young corner of the Jets, is who's going back to school to get his degree. That's pretty cool. School will always be there. College will always be there. The NFL will always be there. Can't make a bad decision in that spot.
Not the NIL money. You're going to still get paid.
Oh, yeah. Well, and yeah, that makes it a difference. It's not as much as being the second pick of the draft, but it's
you can make it through the semester.
And making 10 mil, that ain't bad.
Oh, that's right.
Making 6-8 mil, that ain't bad. Driving this. By the way, we saw some Longhorns pick up some new vehicles over the weekend. Any details on that?
Very nice.
Oh, we got NIL car deals going down in the Longhorn land. Also, Jalen Ford makes it official. He'll be back. We'll detail that coming up here on B&E.